We're starting a new series today on wisdom. And what we're going to do during this series is we're going to take a journey through Proverbs. This is where God was kind of leading me for a little while now. And I decided now was a good time to do this. And I think ultimately that turn it away so they don't know you're working on it. I think when we think of wisdom, we typically think of older people as wise. And if my TV was working, I would click it and hit the next slide, and it would say, insert a picture of David Whitman here, to refer to an older person. I think we also often think of gray hair. So then the next slide was going to say, insert a picture of David's gray hair here. Actually, there is a proverb, Proverbs 16:31, that says this: gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained in the way of righteousness. David, you should have amened right there. You did silently. Okay. The truth is, though, you don't have to be old to be wise. In fact, I think the earlier you become wise, the better. Because wisdom is often actually learned from mistakes. I came across this quote a few years ago, and today I learned it was from someone named Otto von Bismarck, who has a wonderful mustache, a really great mustache. But here was that quote: only a fool learns from his own mistakes. The wise man learns from the mistakes of others. And whatever book I was reading, I don't know which book it was, or it was a few years ago, but I remember talking about how we learn from our mistakes. We become wise through mistakes that are made. And there we go. So there's, nope. Yeah, insert picture of David Whitman here. There's the David Whitman gray hair. There's the quote. There you go. We learn either from our mistakes or the mistakes of others. I would much rather learn from the mistakes of others than my own mistakes. Yet, how often is it that we are not very wise, we make a ton of mistakes, and it ends up making this world not a really great place, makes our life harder? I see that happening a lot in our life. Here's a few examples. I think it's wise to save money for a rainy day. Yet many people spend every bit of the money they make, a.k.a. our government, spending more than the money they bring in. I think it's wise to slow down when driving in the rain. Yet how many wrecks happen because someone is going too fast in bad conditions? I would still be driving a Mustang if I was wise as a 19-year-old and slowed down in the rain. This one's specifically for the men. And as you know, Elijah's birthday was last Saturday, so I've been doing this a good bit this week, putting things together. Men, it is wise to read the instructions before we start to put something together. But often we just start, we mess up, and we have to go back and do it again. When we are not wise, it comes with consequences. Let me use the example of how we put something together. So we put something together, we make a mistake. The good thing about whatever you're putting together is you can undo it and then redo it. The wise way would have been just to read the instructions and then to act. I was sort of that way yesterday putting Elijah's sandbox together. I just kind of looked at the pictures, because men don't read, we just look at pictures. And just went ahead and went on put it together, and of course I wasn't doing it quite right. In this example, this first route, it does have some consequences. It takes more time than it should have. It, for me, often, if I'm putting like a coffee table together or something, pieces will get broken when I have to undo it and then redo it. So pieces get broken, pieces get damaged, things don't look as good. So there's some consequences there when you're putting something together. But the good thing is, you're able to undo it and redo it for the most part. It doesn't work that way in life, though. In real life, the consequences of not being wise are a lot worse. There's the last example. Here's what happens in real life. You act, you make a mistake, and it causes pain and problems. You can't go back and undo the mistakes you made, no matter how much we really want to. You can't go back and redo them the correct way again. So unfortunately, in this world, we have to live with the pain and problems of our mistakes from actions that were not wise. Some examples here maybe would be like with parenting. We discipline our children, but our discipline is too laxed. And so the child gets in trouble all the time, creates trouble for us at home. We are frustrated more often than not, and it could ultimately result in the consequence of them growing up into an undisciplined adult. Or how about with money? We spend the money, we don't save any money, and then we have no money. And so we go into further debt. We're having to work later in life than we planned. Things are not great. Or how about this one? We act. We make a mistake. We sin. And we have to live with pain, with chaos, with problems, and ultimately we have to live with shame. Everybody, you may be wise in these other two, you may be a great parent, you may be great with money, but every single one of us fall in this one. We have made actions that were unwise, that were sinful, that led into shame. And we're dealing with those consequences even still today. But let me tell you this, this is not what God desires for us. And that leads into the good news and the whole point of this series. God wants us to be wise. In fact, James tells us in James 1:5 that if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. It is my belief that if we all become wiser in the way that we live our lives, in the ways we parent our children, in the way we deal with our money, in the way that we handle conflict, in the way that we deal with other people in our workplaces, I believe that we will see an improvement in our life, in our families' lives, and the lives of those around us. And ultimately, if we live wisely, it glorifies God and it will bring others to Him. So today is going to be a general overview of what wisdom is and the path to getting it. We're going to start with the first part of the path, which is the most important. That's what today is about. Before I get into it, let's give you some background on Proverbs. Proverbs is written by King Solomon. King Solomon is King David's son. And King Solomon is writing Proverbs to his sons. Now you probably, when you think of Proverbs, you think of those short little sayings, like basically two sentences or one sentence that's broken up. A little short, that's actually, you know, where we get the idea of proverbial sayings. But there's actually a lot more in Proverbs than just these little sayings. In fact, the first 9 chapters or so are small essays put together where Solomon is teaching his sons and teaching us what wisdom is and how to be wise. Solomon was a wise king. That was Israel's most prosperous time, was during Solomon's reign. He was known to be a wise ruler, and he's wanting to pass that along to his sons and ultimately to us. And so he tells us in Proverbs 1, 2 through 6, the purpose of this book. He says this, "For gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, for doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise." So he's telling us that this book is for gaining wisdom. That's why we named the series Wisdom, because it's about gaining wisdom and understanding. But then he tells us what happens when you gain this wisdom, when you gain this instruction. There will be prudent behavior. You will do, specifically, I think it's interesting that he listed these three things. You will do what is right, what is just, and what is fair. You will have knowledge and discretion. You'll be able to know what you need to do in certain situations. The way that we're going to refer to the consequences of wise actions is that you're going to have abundant life. And that goes back to Jesus saying that he has come to give us life and life to the full. Some translations will just say that Jesus came to give us abundant life, a rich life in this world and beyond. And then Solomon gets to the core idea in verse 7. And the core idea is this: the fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, I came across this and I was like, I've always heard that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So it's interesting that when he is kind of given what in a paper his thesis statement, his starting statement, he's saying the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now later in Proverbs 9:10, he does say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. What he's showing us here is the steps that you have to take to get wisdom from God. He is differentiating, I think, knowledge from wisdom. So the definitions we're going to work with is that knowledge is facts, information, skills, or understanding. And wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge in an applicable and godly way. So knowledge is the information that you have in your head that you have gathered, where wisdom is the ability to apply those facts and that information to your life in a godly way. Don't you know that we have a bunch of smart people, but not a bunch of wise people? We have a bunch of college-educated folks that have this information, but they are not very wise in how they use that information. I think it's the same way in the church. I think we have a lot of people that have knowledge of what Jesus said, but they're not very wise in how they apply that knowledge in their life. And so Solomon is telling us in that verse, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So he's setting this up. Fear of God leads to knowledge. And then later on, we know that knowledge leads to wisdom. But the fear of God has to continue throughout this whole process. And we're going to explain what fear of God means in a second. But he is setting us up. He's letting us know that you have to fear God to really have knowledge. And you've got to have knowledge through the fear of God to really have wisdom. You're not going to be wise without fearing God. It all starts, though, with the fear of the Lord. All of this results in the abundant life. So it goes back to what we had just said. You will be just in your actions. You will know what is right. You know what is fair. You'll have discernment. Ultimately, you'll have success. But what he is getting to here is what the fear of the Lord is. And here's what I think the fear of the Lord is. Simple definition. It's about recognizing God for who he is. And there's a lot more to that than it just saying that. The fear of the Lord is to recognize God for who he is. And I don't know if I've ever really taught specifically on the fear of the Lord. And I, this was not the direction I thought I'd go in this week, but God led me here because we've got to get this down before we get anything else down during this series. The fear of the Lord is about recognizing God for who he is. And God, I think we often will apply more power or more weight to certain attributes of God, and we forget the others. So for example, some people view God as this guy that they should fear and be afraid of because they know he can judge, they know he has power, they know that he'll hold us accountable, so they're scared of him. So they're shivering like this guy. There are others who say God is love and he loves everyone and it doesn't matter how you live your life, you're going to go to heaven. because he's not going to send anyone to hell, so they basically turn back to God this whole time. The only way to truly fear God is to worship God. It's not about being scared of him. It's not about being indifferent to him. It's about worshiping him at his feet. It's about recognizing all the aspects of God because they're all in perfect balance. So there are aspects of God that should make us afraid. He will judge us. He has the power to destroy. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He has the power to destroy countries. He has the power to take our life away from us. He has the authority to do whatever he wants, and that should make us afraid. But if you only view God that way, you're missing the whole side that he is loving. He is literally love itself. He is unending love. He shows us mercy. He shows us grace. He has the ability to forgive and forget our sins. And when you balance the God that, yeah, is going to judge us one day with a God who loves us so much, and you know he is holy, which means he is perfect. Me and you, we would mess up balancing these attributes. But God doesn't. God is perfect. He is holy. He is amazing. So the only way we can respond is in worship. We can and we should. I've heard fear of the Lord being described as this, as it's more like respecting God. Yeah, it is. That's part of it. Respecting that he can punish us. But we should also respond in adoration, knowing just how much he loves us. We should respond in awe, knowing that he can balance every attribute perfectly. We should respond in reverence, knowing just how great and awesome he is. But ultimately, to fear the Lord is to respond in worship, knowing that he alone is God. It has to start with recognizing God for who he is. All aspects, all attributes, everything God is, that is where wisdom starts. So why does gaining wisdom start with fearing God? Well, we have the answer to that in Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So here's what he's saying here. If you want to have knowledge and wisdom, it comes from God. But you can't get it from God unless you fear God. And when you fear God, you're going to have a relationship with him. That's essentially what it's getting to here. Yes, we have to fear of God, but what Solomon is wanting them to know, that if you fear God and you recognize him for who he really is, you're going to want to be in a relationship with him. You're going to worship him. And when you do that, he's the source. He's the wellspring of knowledge and wisdom so that you can live an abundant life here on earth. And so we have to start with this, a relationship. We have a lot of people in the world that think they have knowledge. But if they don't fear God and have a relationship with him, they don't have knowledge or wisdom. Not that's going to result in abundant life anyway. Knowing this makes it make a whole lot of sense why so many people are not acting very wise today, because they don't fear or know God. And therefore, they have a lot of pain and problems in life. It goes back to this. They act, they make mistakes, it results in pain, problems, shame, etc. For example, people are not wise in how they handle conflict. So there's more conflict, there's more destruction, and in extreme cases, there's even killing and death. People are not wise in how they handle their finances. So there's extra strain on marriages. Did you know, at one time, the number one reason for divorce was finances? There's extra anxiety and stress in our life because we're not handling our finances wisely. There's extra work that has to be done. People are not wise in family matters, which is why there are so many broken families. It creates so many problems for us for them, for the people around them, because they aren't wise, simply because it goes back to they don't fear God. Solomon would call these people fools in the book of Proverbs. He introduced the word fools in Proverbs 1:7 and says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So here's the way I'm going to define fools for this series. A fool is someone who rejects God's wisdom and experiences great trouble in life. In other words, a fool is someone who knows they have access to the source of knowledge and the source of wisdom, but they are choosing to reject that. They're choosing not to go to that source. They're choosing to do what they think is right in their life, and they're going to experience great trouble in life because we're not wise in ourselves. They're creating more trouble for themselves. And so Solomon, later in Proverbs 1, this is one of those little sections that's almost like an essay. It's verses 20 through 33. And what he does here is he personifies wisdom. He makes wisdom out to be a woman. And she is in the public square. I'll read a little bit and then we'll stop and explain it. It says, "Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech." So he's saying wisdom is this woman. He wants us to put this image in our head that wisdom is this woman that is trying to get everybody's attention. She is in the city square. She's at the top of the city gate. She's on top of the wall. She's trying to get people's attention, and she makes this speech. She says, "How long will you, who are simple, love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke, then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, it's then that you will call to me, but I'm not going to answer. It's then that they will look for me, but they will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm." What Solomon does here is he uses a literary tool personifying wisdom to talk about the consequences of not being wise. And he lists them there out for us. Disaster in the lives of people. Calamity. People are adding extra stress to their life. They're literally shaving off years of their life due to the stress they are under due to their unwise decisions. Are we not seeing this take place? Are we not seeing people create trouble for themselves? It's their own doing because they haven't chosen to fear the Lord. Therefore, they don't have knowledge. Therefore, they don't have wisdom. And they're experiencing great trouble in life. One of the hardest things for me as a pastor is to see someone that I know is making a mistake and trying to talk to them about it, but knowing that if I'm not careful, I'm going to come across as judgy or condemning or something, I don't know. And oftentimes when I try to address things with people that they don't see, they just get mad at me. You know, they just don't want anything to do with me after that. And so one of the hardest things for me is to see people make unwise decisions that I know is going to hurt them in the future. Then there's the other part of me that is like wisdom here and laughs at them for getting what they deserve. Because eventually, it said that, the last part of that was that the waywardness, no, they will eat the fruit of their ways. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. So if you sow foolishness, you're going to reap foolishness. If you sow wisdom, you're going to reap wisdom. And so part of me looks back and say, they're going to get what they deserve. Maybe they'll wake up then. And the great thing about God, wisdom doesn't sound very forgiving, but the great thing is that God is. And that even when we recognize our mistakes, he is there in open arms, welcome us back into his fellowship, into his kingdom to get wisdom then. But you know, I can spend so much time looking at others that I forget that there's still some foolishness in me. The truth is, we all are foolish deep down. We all have a side of us that doesn't act in the wisdom of God. We all have a side of us that does what we think is right, and we don't care what God says. We all create problems for ourselves by making unwise decisions. I know this because I know that we, in the church, don't always act and think like Jesus did. 1 Corinthians 1:24 tells us that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So if you want to see wisdom truly personified, Jesus is the embodiment of wisdom. If you want to know what it looks like to perfectly live as an example in this world of what wisdom looks like lived out, you got to look to Jesus. And I know that we who are followers of Jesus don't perfectly live out his ways. For example, when someone does something bad to us, do we turn the other cheek? Or do we get angry and try to figure out how to retaliate? In our daily life, on a normal day, do you spend more time focusing on gaining earthly material things, or do you focus on doing the work of God and storing up treasures in heaven? Or how about this one? When life isn't going our way, do we constantly worry and therefore put added stress on our body? Or do we simply trust that God is going to take care of us? The wise man's going to say, God takes care of us. The wise man's going to spend their life storing up treasures in heaven. The wise man's going to turn the other cheek. And I know that because that's what Jesus did. Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, told us how God desires for us to live. And those examples I just took were from the Sermon on the Mount. Let me make a connection for you here. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the way he closes it down is with this. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Guess what the other word he uses in verse 26? Let's read it. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Jesus is connecting Proverbs to his sermon. And in his sermon, he's laying out how he wants us to live, how we should live. And it was things that seemed upside down. We did a series not too long ago called The Upside Down Kingdom. And we went through the Sermon on the Mount and says, this doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that when someone attacks me, I can't attack them back. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That's what makes sense. And Jesus says, no, turn the other cheek. And ultimately what he's saying is, that's what a wise man does. If you take my teachings and you apply them into your life, that's a wise man. Or you can choose to be foolish. So my question for you today is, which one do you choose to be? Do you want to build your house on the rock? Or do you want to build your house on the sand? The only way you can build your house, the only way you can live your life on the rock is to fear God and enter into a relationship with him. And when you do that, guess who that rock is? That rock is Jesus. Our mission here at this church is to make disciples who build their lives on Christ, the cornerstone. Cornerstone is the beginning part of a building, beginning and ending block. It's where everything begins, where everything ends. It's the perfect stone. Everything else has to align to it. Our goal is to make sure that you are building your life on the rock, not the sand. Our goal at this church, our mission, is to make sure that you are wise, not foolish. And so let me ask you today, which one describes your life? Do you fear God? Do you seek knowledge and wisdom from Him? And we're going to get that a little bit more next week about how specifically to get wisdom from Him. But I really wanted to emphasize today, it all starts with fearing God. Respecting Him, looking at Him, worshiping Him for who He is. As the worship team comes up, I want to ask you, which one do you identify with more today? Are you the foolish builder? Or are you the wise builder? And maybe you're here today and you know you have not been wise in life. You know you've made some bad decisions. You know that you've made a lot of mistakes and maybe you're still dealing with them today. Or maybe you're here today and you're facing a major decision in your life right now and you need wisdom. Or maybe you're here today, and I think this is most of us, we just want to make sure that we stop making foolish acts and start doing more wise acts in our life. No matter what, the response is clear. We have to start with fearing God. And so we're going to sing one last song. It's going to be Cornerstone. We haven't sang it in a while. And if you've heard my story before, when I wrecked my Mustang, I already told you I wasn't very wise driving fast on when it was pouring down rain. But I was wise in the fact that I feared God. And I was listening to this song as the wreck was happening. If you've ever been in a wreck, you know it goes slow motion. So it felt like a 10-minute wreck, basically. But it was, you know, all done within a few seconds. And all that could go through my head was, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. And that's some of the lyrics to this song. The storms of life are going to come. That's why Jesus is saying, make sure you build on the stone and not the sand, because the waves are going to crash against your house. The storm is going to beat against your house. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be problems in life. No matter if you're wise or foolish, there's going to be problems. But the foolish person's house is going to come crashing down. The wise person's house is going to remain strong because it's built on a firm foundation. I hope you are wise today and choose to fear God and build on this foundation, not that one. Because the storms are going to come. The question is, are you going to get knocked down or not? So if we all going to stand to your feet, and I'm going to invite you to come up here and pray, whether you know today, hey, I don't know God, and I want to know God. I want to have a relationship with Him. Come up here and seek Him at this altar. We'll talk to you after service. We'll lead you to Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you're facing a major decision in your life right now and you're seeking wisdom. Come up here and seek wisdom. He says, ask for wisdom and He will give it to you. Or maybe you just want to come up here and say, God, I want to be less foolish. I want to be more faithful. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be wise in the way I live my life. Fear God. Worship Him. Let's pray.